prayers. No, isn't it wonderful that he answers our prayers? You're kidding. I mean, you really think after this morning's message we're going to all just exist? It's been a tough day. I've had the toughest day, I'll tell you. Amen. I'll tell you, it's wonderful when God answers our prayers.
Amen.
Okay. Well, it's hot up here. 1 Thessalonians 1. Characteristics of a great church. The Thessalonican church. Church at Thessalonica. Great church. And just a little passage here. Characteristics of a great church. And remember this, a great church doesn't have to be a big church. It's not a matter of size. It's not. We know of a lot of corrupt churches that are very big. The Roman Catholic Church is not preaching the truth. They've never preached the truth as far as we know. And they're big. They're huge. And yet, that doesn't make it a great, just because it's big doesn't mean it's great. It's a great church because it has great people doing what they're supposed to do. And the characteristics you're going to see here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verses 1 to 10, these are all characteristics of what people are doing and people that are doing what God says. And if we do what God says, he'll do what he said he would do. And one of those things is what we just sang about. He'll answer our prayers. I cannot imagine what could happen if we would just pray. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. And seek my face. Oh, and turn from their wicked ways. Then he said, I'll hear from heaven. And we need him to hear. We really do. We need to pray. And we need to be people that pray. But we also need to find out what else we need to do. And there's some good characteristics to see here. Verses 1 to 10, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus under the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that interesting how that goes together? Affliction and joy. Now that only happens because you're doing these things that God says the church at Thessalonica did. You can have affliction and still have joy. You can have trouble and still rejoice. You can be in the storm and know the storm's going to pass by, but God's going to keep you safe in the midst of it. You can have all kinds of trouble and know that you have a God that can answer your prayers and deliver you, or he can sustain you. He can put his arms around you and hold you and comfort you in the midst of all that. I love that verse 6. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. That's one of the reasons we know this is a great church. They were examples to everyone. Amen. All around. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. I mean, this is before Facebook. This is before internet. This is before Google, believe it or not. There was life before Google. And what kind of a name is Google? But anyway, so they're known. They're known for this. People know about this church. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. See, they weren't born that way. They were just like us, right? They were just like us. They were lost. They had their idols. They had their sins. They had their wickedness. They had their own lifestyle. Amen. We hear it all the time. Well, it's just so hard to serve God. Well, maybe it does seem that way, but they did. They turned from their idols to serve the living and true God. By the way, is he living and true or not? Well, it doesn't make sense to serve idols then, does it? But anyway, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Father, bless now the preaching of thy word. We do thank you for the privilege we have to attend our services tonight. We thank you, God, for all the work, all the people that make Everything happened this weekend, a mother-daughter banquet, all the work, our Christian school, a jogathon, activities throughout the week, just a busy, busy place and people that make it all happen. Thank you for soul winning. Thank you for people getting saved this week, a person getting saved in junior church today. And God, every soul is important to you. And I pray that you'll help us to be a great church, not in the world's eyes so much, but in your eyes and in the eyes of those that observe, that are looking for a God that can change their lives. Lord, may they find him as we continue to spread the gospel all around Lenawee County. I pray you'll bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, a great church doesn't have to be big, doesn't have to have lots of money, doesn't have to have big buildings and all that. The Lord has blessed us, of course, with beautiful facilities and land, and God's been so good, and buses and these different projects that we have. God's blessed you so you could give and bless our church in so many ways. But again, you know, it starts off in verse 1 here, and it says, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it all starts. You know, it's not us. It's not because we're Baptists. Now, we like to say, you know, I bless God. I spell it with a capital B and a capital A and a capital P and a capital T and a capital I. And I'm not ashamed to being a Baptist. Amen. I'm glad. I want people to know what we stand for, what we believe. But it's not because we're Baptists. It's because we're in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because we're saved. It's because we're born again. It's because we know we're going to heaven. That's how God can. That's where it all starts. I mean, the greatest characteristic, obviously, we can have is to be His. Amen. We're not just a social organization. I wish I could get people to grasp the fact that this is a miraculous institution and not just a club. We're not just a club. We're not just a social organization. We're not like all the other. I mean, they can have all those things. I'm not against those things, but we're not like that. We're from God. We're His. Amen. The church here of the Thessalonians and the church here, you know, it's because they were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God for that. And you know, as soon as you throw this book out, you're no longer there. You're representing somebody else. Amen. That's why we stick to the old King James Bible. We're not going to toss it out. We're not going to get rid of it, because I want to represent Him. We're not trying to represent anybody else but Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to stick with. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches, and without me, ye can do nothing. Amen. Oh, you know, but we could have a bigger, you know, and we could have more. And who wants bigger and who wants more? I just want Him to be pleased. Amen. We need Him more than anything else. And we have to realize without Him, we can do nothing. So many people met today in the name of church, religion, whatever, all over the world, and he was not included. Don't you dare. Don't we dare ever. Don't think that a bus route can be run without him. Let's never think our junior church can be run without him. Let's never think we can run the shepherd's ministry without him. Let's never get the idea we can have our choir sing without him. Let's never have the idea, hey, as you play a offertory or as you sing a song, you cannot do it without him. Oh, you might perform, but you can't do anything for him without him. Praise the Lord. Let's look at this church and look at these characteristics. First thing I see is they were working. They were working. It's the first thing I notice. It says here, verse 3, remembering without ceasing your work. Notice it's a work. He talks about a work of faith. Amen. You know, working is so important. Your work of faith. I mean, obviously, you know, if it's a church, well, you know, we have to make sure that we have this all lined up here so we can do this, and make sure we have this money so we can do this. No, look, we serve a God who we got saved by faith, by trusting Him, by believing in Him. And there must be a work of faith. In our ministry, it has to be that way. It has to be a work of faith. That means we have to try to do some impossible things. Amen. We have to do some things where people scratch their heads and say, what in the world are they doing? They can't do that. You know, there's nothing greater, I think, for people to say about the New Testament church. And that's where folks say, they can't do that. Do you realize what a miracle it is that we even have a church, that we even assemble, that we do anything we do? Do you realize what a miracle it is to have a bus ministry? What a miracle it is to have a shepherd's ministry? What a miracle it is to give an altar call and see people saved week after week? It's just a miracle. That's a work of faith. It's got to be impossible. What a miracle to have an RU program. Amen. Where folks that are drug addicts can be rescued and they can be cleaned up from the inside out. Amen. It's a work of faith. Things that are impossible. You know, when is the last, I mean, without, where there is no vision, the Bible says the people perish. Where there's no vision. Folks, we need a vision of impossible things. That, to me, that's what the fair ministry, it's an impossible thing. You know, it's, well, preacher, you know, people set up tents all the, yeah, but what we do is not just set up a tent. Amen. What we do, you know, but it's not impossible to give out Kool-Aid. No. If all we did was give out Kool-Aid, that wouldn't be anything, right? If all we did was give out prizes, that wouldn't be such a big deal. What are the prizes, Brother Chase? How much? So gift certificates, right? You might want to change from being gift certificates to the mall. Really? We can go to one store? Anyway, that, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, I got in trouble already today with a name that I didn't know was a person. I'm going to stick to Poindexter. I know no, there aren't any Poindexters. So you know, but what we do is we do something that is impossible. You know, you try to lead people to Christ. You give them the gospel. And I don't know, I you know, I have pastors every now and then. We'll talk about the fair ministry, and I'll be talking with them, and they'll say, people don't do that anymore. I said, we do. Amen. Well, does it work? Well, it works. And gospel hadn't quit working. Never did quit, right? Amen. Some of you, you know, you just might as well smile. But anyway, it's a work of faith. Amen. Is it working? He says here, it's a labor of love. He says, not only a work of faith, he said, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. What's that? That's sacrifice. You know, we do this because we love you. You know, the church, a characteristic of a great church is to make sacrifices and because we love people. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I get to reading the paper sometime, and I see different things, and I see, you know, different things that the newspaper people think are important. And I immediately start thinking about the things we do that are important. Amen. And they ought to come take pictures of everything we do. They ought to be here every Sunday in the shepherd's ministry. They really should. Amen? They ought to come over and check out Berean Baptist Academy. You know, amen. I mean, honestly, we're doing important things and very, very crucial things and a sacrifice. They ought to follow the Baileys around on the bus route sometime. Go on bus visitation sometime. That's important. Amen. Get pictures of that. Amen. I'm not against the other things. I'm just saying a labor of love. That's what it's all about. It's doing it without saying, well, what do I get out of this? It's just, we love you. That's why we do it. Amen. I mean, you know, Karen Koch, she's talking about the shepherds. And Pastor, you know, your time is coming to preach in the shepherds. Better take care of that. Why does she care? Because she loves them. That's why. Amen. You know, talking about the party in the summer and some surprises. And I'm not going to tell you now. No, Steve. It's a surprise. You'll have to wait. But she's all excited. And she's as excited as some folks are about getting a raise. Why does she care? Well, I'll tell you why she cares, because she loves them. Amen. It's a labor of love. Amen? And the ministry, the things we do, we've got to have. That is one of the great characteristics. Yes, we're working, but it's a labor of love. By the way, what about lost people? Okay, so we have all these agendas out here, and we have the homosexuals doing their thing, and you know, they're be careful that you quit loving them. Be careful, folks. Be careful that we quit loving Muslims. They need Jesus. The only difference, I'm serious about it, the only thing different between them and you is Jesus Christ. And we better remember that. It's a labor of love. And our missionaries and missions and all of that, it's a labor of love. And we cannot lose that. Working. What about here, a patience of hope? And you know, it's simply, you know, Jesus never fails. Do you believe that? Whatever, then whatever our labors are, something's going to happen. He says his word will not return void. It'll accomplish its purpose, always. Oh, I know. You know, we say, oh, you know, we're doing this, and we don't see, but you may not see it here. We may not see a lot of it till we're there. But we'll see it. We'll see it one of these days, working, whether you see the results here or not. Whether you get to have the pat on the back now or not. Whether you get to see your convert all excited now or not. You know, it's just working. It's one of the great characteristics of a great church. Then the second thing I see here is walking. Not only do I see working, but I see walking. So important that we are walking. He says in verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. You know, walking. The word there, followers, is an imitator. And when I read this verse, I think about when we used to play follow the leader. Remember that? You know, and the leader would go ahead, and if he put his hand on his head, you had to put your hand on your head. And if he hopped on one leg, I'm not going to do that. You had to hop on one, you know, and everybody did. If he crawled through the hole, you had to crawl. If he went over the stump, you had to. Remember that? Y'all do that? You're still not going to raise your hand, right? Yeah, these sign-up sheets scare people from ever raising their hand. But I think so. He says, follow us and the Lord. Amen. It's walking. It's walking the way he walks. It's following him. It's looking at him. It's studying him. It's like I'm preaching on Wednesday. Study. Hey, we need to study him so that we know how to walk. And our kids need to be able to look at us to know how to walk. And the young people need to look at the old people and learn how to walk. How to walk with the Lord. How to be an imitator. Amen. We need some folks that will imitate Jesus. You say, but preacher, you're telling me to fake it. No, I'm telling you this. I'm telling you, walk like Jesus. And you say, well, I'm not really doing it with my heart. Well, bless God, do it anyway till your heart catches up. Because I guarantee you, walk like Jesus, you'll stay out of trouble. Amen. Amen. Walking. Put on, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll follow a leader. Jesus, the greatest leader that ever lived. We need to be walking and following. And we need to follow each other. You know, what a blessing that we have so many adults in this church that our young people can follow. Such a blessing. So many wonderful marriages that young couples can look at. And they can say, wow, you know, this is what I want. I mean, you know, it's such a blessing to see older folks. They're holding hands. Amen. They're walking, holding hands. I mean, the whites, they'll smooch. They smooched the other day, you know, out in the parking lot. They said, hey! You know, and boy, what a blessing. It's wonderful. You say, what'd they do when you said, hey, they kiss longer. Why do you think I said it? But anyway, you know, we need to be walking and following our Lord Jesus Christ. And not just Sunday, but every day. Amen. You know, what better thing for your neighbors to see than that you are imitating Jesus Christ? Nothing better in all the world. And that our kids are saying, you know, they're saying, this is what my dad does. This is what my mom does. By the way, that's a bad deal when it's something bad. Right. That's not a good thing, is it? When those kids say, well, that's what my dad said. Well, it can be embarrassing. Amen. Amen. They're working. They're walking. Notice what else they're doing. In verse 6, it says here, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word. They're wanting. You know what I find? I find the hungrier you are, the easier it is to take. Amen? You know, I preached a message many, many years ago, eat what's served. Amen? And you know, every bitter thing to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet, right? Right? But you got to be hungry. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Yeah. Yeah, but you got to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's Matthew 5 and verse 6. And here, they're wanting, so they received the word. They took it in. I preached about it this morning and you know, having that hard heart where we just don't want to hear. We plug our ears. We turn our shoulder. We don't want to hear it. And remember this, a hard heart is a cold heart. I'm sorry, it was a heart of stone. And it's a cold heart. It's a hard heart. And it's a fruitless heart. Why would we want to live that life? But you see, here's somebody that wants the word of God. They received the word. Now again, I think it's so important that you understand that they received the word in much affliction. Why? What's that mean? They're hungry. They're hungry. What does God have to do to get you to really pay attention to what he's got to say? What's he have to do? I mean, honestly, folks will come and they'll say, Pastor, I'm going through this. I've got this problem there. What should I do? And I pretty much always will tell them, get in your Bible and get on your knees. You say, well, but what about going here? And what about, no, get in your Bible and get on your knees. And most of the time, somebody will think, well, that, you know, I expect my pastor to say that, and I'm going to try some other things. But when you really get in trouble, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get in your Bible and get on your knees. Why do we wait on the trouble? Do you know, and I think this way, and sometimes I tell God, you know, God, I don't mean to think that. You ever think something and you say, I really don't mean to think that? Sometimes I get to thinking, now if I don't do what God says to do, he's going to bring me affliction so that I will do it. You know, if I'm not praying, I'm not reading my Bible like I should. And I know, and I start to think, all right, you know, I'll do this later on. I'll deal with this later on. And I'll study this later on. And I'll pray about this later on. And I'll put the time later on. And then the thought comes to my mind that God's going to put me in a position where I'll do it now. And I say, you wouldn't do that, would you? Yes, you would. Oh, you would do that. I better do it now. But it's because I'm wanting. I want God to do something. Do you want God to do something? I preached this morning about a heart of stone. And I guarantee there's some, I don't need that. I preached on Wednesday night, study to know when to speak. And talked about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I guarantee there's some, I don't care about that kind of stuff. You know? I preached recently about abundant life. Amen. So many settle for just short of abundant life, you know. It's like saying, I'll take the wilderness. At least I'm not, you know, in Egypt. I'll take the courtyard. At least I'm not on the other side. You know, how sad when God has a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life for us in Canaan. How God has a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful relationship with us inside the Holy of Holies. How God, all these things, and we want to settle for just short. How sad. How sad. What do you want tonight? Seriously, what do you want? What do you want? Do you want God to do something? Then get in your Bible. Get on your knees. God will do something. He will give you what you need to hear. And in much affliction, you know, the martyrs, they had to hear from heaven. The early church, they're being persecuted. They had to hear from, I mean, any day somebody could come and wipe them out. Any day someone could come and split up their family. Any day someone could come and take their job, and they have nothing. Much affliction. They needed to hear from God. Isn't it interesting when there's trouble how our ears perk up? We hear a noise. It's always the wife that hears the noise. Honey, did you hear that? No. Right? Why does the guy always say no? I'm going to tell you why right now. He doesn't want to get up. That it's very simple, really. He's comfortable. He doesn't want to get up and check. Don't raise your hand, but think about it. How many times did the wife go ahead and get up and check? No elbows, please. But, boy, it's amazing how we perk up. You know, I'm laying in bed. Last night I heard some kind of noise outside, but our neighbors are all, you know, they're unique. A lot of church people, the Cooks live around there and everything. And the Hollands, you can't trust them. But anyway, but what, you know, so I'm laying there, I'm about half asleep, and all of a sudden I hear a noise, and I, you know, you listen. And then interesting, as the clouds start getting dark when it's warm, you know, We turn on that radio, or we all get text. How many of you get text alerts? Yeah, it was amazing. I got a text alert when we were in Barbados. Tornado for Lenawee County. You know, I thought. Anyway, but we pay attention, don't we? We really do. I don't remember when it was, a couple years ago, and I was home, and all of a sudden Brother Chase calls, and he says, Pastor, there's a tornado coming right at you. And I said, Brother Chase, I didn't know about that. And so I decided to go out and got out. My wife was gone for something. She was going somewhere. But anyway, I got out on the porch, and all of a sudden I heard the little man going by with his megaphone. Tornado warning! Everybody take cover! And I thought, boy, Brother Chase was on top of that. You say, what'd you do? I got in the basement. Amen. Called my wife, said, honey, you need to worry. I'm in the basement. But we really pay attention, don't we, when there's trouble? Yeah. Yeah. Fact is, spiritually, folks, there's trouble. There's trouble. And we need to listen to God. We need to hear, and we need to read His Word, and we need to talk to Him, and we need to listen to what He's got to say. We need to want to hear what He has to say. What's your orders, God? What do you want us to do? What is the order for today? There's actually more danger spiritually than there is with the weather. You know, there's a lot of danger out there. And, you know, honestly, they received, the Bible says here, that they having received the word in much affliction with joy. They're in the middle of affliction, but they have joy. But that's because of the word. Try it. You know, there's folks in the room right now going through some tough times. Try to get in your Bible and watch some joy start to spring up. Amen. I'm thinking about this. Spring up, oh well, kush, kush. Is that how it goes? Well, let's just sing it. Spring up, oh well, squish, squish, splish, splish. I don't know, but I like it. How's the rest of it go, Tim? Within my soul. Splish, splash? All right, we'll do it another time. I got to finish preaching. But what do you want? I want you to quit singing. All right. But, you know, one of the characteristics, honestly, here's how I see the church at Thessalonica. I see them coming into church saying, man, I can't wait to hear what God has for me. Amen. By the way, it starts with the first song. That's what God has for you. Amen. It's the hymn book. I mean, it's loaded. We're just buying new hymn books so we have more. Amen. And that's all of God. I mean, the songs that we sing, all of it is this is what I need. This is how I'm going to make it. This is how I'm going to rejoice. This is the abundant life that God has for me. And I want it. I want it all. Doesn't matter what the message is about. We used to go, I mean, we'd go to pastor school knowing that we're going to have our faces ripped off. Yeah, and that's a weird sight when your face is ripped off. I mean, we knew what was coming. I used to, before pastor school, I'd say, okay, wonder what there is that I'd better just go ahead and get right. Because I don't want to sit there while everybody else is amen, and I want to be able to amen with them instead of going, oh, me. I'm serious. I wanted to be right. And you know, what do we want? What do we want? It's a good question. Thank you. Working, walking, wanting. How about witnessing? Verse 7 says, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God were to spread everywhere they went. Everywhere they went, they were witnessing. They were an example. They were an example to lost people. They were an example to other believers. What about at work? Do people see you wringing your hands, worrying about everything, or do they see you rejoicing? Do they hear you say, I'm just trusting the Lord? Do they hear you panicking about everything going on? What do people see? Do they see someone who has faith? Do they see someone they can come to and say, hey, I thought I'd have you pray for my Aunt Frida. I thought I'd have you pray for my Uncle Poindexter. Notice Poindexter. I wanted you to pray for my relative because I know you pray. And I know you get your prayers answered. What do they see? What's your testimony? Have you ever told people at work that God answered your prayer? Well, preacher, they're not saved. Okay. So they're not saved. Do they ever talk to you about unsaved things? How about do they ever talk to you about the ball game? I don't see ball games anywhere in the Bible. I'm not against the ball games. I'm just saying it's not anywhere in the... So if they can talk to you about their favorite basketball star and how he dunked the ball or whatever he did. By the way, when you're 7 foot tall and you dunk, what's a big deal? What's a big deal is if I can dunk the ball. That's a big deal. But the best thing I've ever dunked is cookies and milk. Man, I tell you, that sounds good right now. But all I'm saying is, you know, we witnessing and talking about the things of God. Why are we so afraid to? I gave the testimony, and this is one of the most miraculous things to me, is my dad was, when he was lost, he was a tough guy. And he wanted nothing to do with the gospel. He held out his hand toward me. I could not witness. It got to a place where I couldn't witness to my dad. He said, "I will disown you." And I mean, he didn't want to hear it. He did not want to hear anything about how to be saved. But what he always heard when he talked to me is, "What a blessing. God's so good. God took care of this. And well, son, how you doing in college? You know, God's good. I got an A on this test, or I did this. And well, how's your bills? You know, God's good. Everything's paid. God is good." Dad never, not one time did my unsaved dad hear me gripe about anything. About time I griped about college. I remember we got demerits for where in the world's my wife? Oh, she's way back there. Hello. Anyway, I'm looking over here and I'm thinking, you and I didn't get demerits for holding hands. Certainly not Steve. But I guess not. But anyway, we'd get demerits and different things. You know, we're a husband and wife, and they didn't know how to deal with all that. My dad never heard about that. You know what he heard? He heard, "Boy, it's great, Dad. Everything's good." Because I told my dad God called me to college. God can't do anything wrong. Y'all listening to me? He can't do anything wrong. He can't do anything wrong. So whatever's going on, if I'm not happy, if I'm not, you know, eating like I think I ought to, if I'm not going through just the bliss that I think I should go through, not his fault. So you know what my unsaved dad heard? He just heard, "God sure is good, Dad." I'll never forget the first time my dad threw Carl Hatch off his porch. I mean, Dad was rough. I'll never forget the first time my unsaved dad said to me, "What a blessing." Usually he said, "Blankety blank. What a blessing." Dad started telling all his drinking buddies that I was his pastor. I wasn't his pastor, but what he was saying was, "I'm proud of my son." Oh, I'm so glad my dad got saved. I'm so glad my dad's in heaven. I don't think it's because I'm anything other than I tried to be a witness to my dad. Who do you know that's lost? What are you doing about it? Amen. What about when there's opportunity to give testimony? What is your testimony? What's happening? What's our testimony? What's our testimony when visitors walk through the doors? What's our do we welcome them? Are we friendly? Are we nice? Huh? Do we make sure they realize that Jesus really is real? Or how do we come across? Do we encourage our bus kids? Hello. Do we let them know that we love them? You know, it's easy to say, "Hey, be quiet there, Poindexter." You know, or. And we do have to tell them to be quiet sometimes. But do we also say, "Boy, I'm so glad you came. We sure are happy you're here." Amen. Amen. It's all part of our witness. It's all part of us being a good example. It's all part of, like they, you know, it all spread. It all spread. How do we deal with some of these things? Characteristics, working, walking, wanting, witnessing. But the fifth thing I see is they were willing. They were willing. Verse 9 is a powerful verse. Hope you don't miss it. "They themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, Yeah, you know, somehow we have this idea that these folks, you know, boy, these people, they're such good Christians. They must have been born saved. No, they were born lost, just like you. And they were in Sunday school class, and they shot spit wads on the walls. That when the teacher had his back turned, they hit him in the back of the head with paper wads. And, yeah, they were just like us. They were on the bus causing Shirley Bailey trouble. Not that she was around back then, but they were the same kind of kids. Yeah, they were, you know, they're just like you and me. They turned from their idols. How did they turn from those idols? They were willing. That's how. They were willing. The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. But it all starts with being willing. And by the way, turning to God. Do you understand there are so many cults out there that are trying to get people to turn to them? And they're false. The Jehovah's Witnesses are out all the time. The Mormons are out all the time. They're knocking on doors all over the place. And you know, you may look at them and say, but what are you doing? Right. We have the truth. But we have to be willing. No, you see, I did. I turned from idols to serve the living and true God. If they can do it, I can do it. Amen. You just have to be willing. Just have to be willing. Amen. Must be willing to leave the old to receive the new. I think about all the junk that I left. I thought it was so precious, my hair. I thought that was so precious. Oh, long and flowing. And when I would use, gee, your hair smells terrific. It smelled so nice. Sometimes I'd take it and I'd bring it over and I'd go, ah. I used to lay 30 minutes on my right side to get it straight, and then I would roll over and lay on my left side to get it so that it all just looked so pretty. Preacher said, you're going to have to cut all that, son. It's a matter of just being willing. And I tried so hard to hold on to it. And I think of what a mess my life would be. And I wonder what you're holding on to tonight. You're just not willing to let go of. I tried so hard to hold on to the old music, the 45s, the LPs. I tried so hard to hold on to it all. I did. Brenda and I, we went to Bible college. We had it with us. I can still see it right now. And Pastor Bob Taylor got to preaching. Didn't preach necessarily on rock music, just preached on, what are you going to do for Jesus? Hey, you preacher, boy, what are you going to do? And I thought, you know, I probably ought to let go of some stuff. I think there's some stuff maybe God wouldn't want me to have as a preacher. I got to thinking there might be some stuff God would want me to have as a Christian. And all of a sudden, that box, Brother Darrell, it was sitting out by the side of the road. Brenda's wicked music. But it's just a matter of, are you willing tonight? What do you want God to do? I want God to do some great things in this. I want that curtain to be gone. Because it has to be gone. I want us to be talking about building on. But again, it isn't going to just happen by accident. It's going to happen because we're going to have to be willing. Amen? It's a matter of being willing. And then the last thing, working, walking, wanting, witnessing, willing. And the last thing is waiting. Waiting. And to wait, verse 10, for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Waiting. Waiting. You know, who was it? The Millerites in 1844. They the prophet said that the Lord was returning on a certain day. And so they got all their people together and they got up on a big old hill as if the hill would help them go quicker. No, the better thing would be the cemetery, because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall go first. Anyway, but I threw that out. But they put on white sheets and robes, you know, and put their cows in. I don't know why they I guess they wanted steak in heaven. I don't know. But anyway, and the cows had robes, and they all just. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't think that's what he wants us to be doing when he comes. I think he wants us to be busy. This would be a good pose when he comes. Amen. Knocking on a door.
Amen.
Good. Some of you just not going to join in, but you know, they're singing, preaching. Amen. That'd be a good anything. Amen. Anything like that. How about in church like this? And he comes. Maybe not a good idea. I don't think he's gonna. It's gonna hurt you too much, but you know, maybe take a room off your mansion. But waiting. You know, how should we be waiting? How about with anticipation, excitement? He's coming. How about waiting like I used to at the gas station? I used to wait on the inspectors and never knew when they were going to come, but I knew they could come, and I worked extra hard. I think that's how we ought to be waiting. How about expectation, expecting something? I've told you about Brother Dan Hawtrey, an evangelist when I was in Bible college, and I had him preach for me in Indiana one time. I picked him up at the airport, and he right in the hallway of the airport, he said, "We need to pray." And he and we bowed our heads, and right there, and he prayed, and he ended his prayer, and he always ended his prayer with, "And God, we come to you with a spirit of expectancy." And he spit when he said it. But I thought, that guy really thinks something's going to happen. I guess I ought to get on board with that. He's expecting something. You know, why would you? Why have somebody come in if you don't expect anything to happen? Why gather like this if we don't expect something to happen? Why have a mother-daughter banquet if we don't expect anything to happen? Amen. Amen. And so these people, they to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. You say, "Yeah, but I just think he's coming any time." But what if he doesn't? I can tell you this, and I know this to be true. He didn't for them. So what'd they do? They just kept going. They were waiting on him, but he didn't come. We ought to be so excited about seeing him. We ought to be so excited about it. We ought to be so excited that we get real busy so we have something for him when he comes. Let's bow our heads, please.